yum! Look at here! Chewing tobacco!
Kuno moved to the front door. Staring out, he removed the keeper thong from over the hammer of his .45. The three hard cases had the tarp half off the Big Murphy, and one was prying the lid off a crate. Kuno slid the Colt from its holster, crouched, and took aim. One after another, the hard cases' hats were ripped from their heads to sail around on the breeze before bouncing off along the street. Each man jerked with alarm and turned enraged looks at the brawny freighter who held his smoking .45s on the saloon's front boardwalk.
I don't know what you're looking for, but that's my freight. Lesson you don't stand clear, my next shot's gonna be a mite lower.
They stared at him hard, their hands slowly moving toward the six-shooters holstered low on their thighs. The man standing at the wagon's tailgate, a wad of fresh chew balling his cheek, crumpled, clutching his knee.
I apologize. I must not have made myself clear.
While the wounded man lay on the dusty street, the others raised their hands high above their pistol butts.
Hold on! Hold on!
Kuno looked to the hard case standing atop the crate of winter Mackinaws, his long, stringy black hair blowing in the breeze.
We heard you. We just thought this stuff was for sale is all.
Yeah, don't get your back up.
The third man was kneeling atop flour sacks stacked as high as the Murphy's yellow-painted driver's seat.
We were fixing to pay.
He wore a denim jacket over a torn underwear shirt and an Abe Lincoln stovepipe hat, a deck of cards wedged behind its braided leather band. The breeze buffeted the fringes of his deerskin leggings. Kuno gritted his teeth and jerked his .45's hammer back.
Ain't for sale. Get down.
All right.
The man with the stringy black hair glanced at the man in the stovepipe hat. He shrugged, crouched, planted both hands on the side of the wagon box, and hoisted himself over. A second later, the other man joined him, catching his hat as it tumbled off his shoulder. The other man lay next to the wagon, both legs curled beneath his body. He clutched his bloody knee with his right hand. His face, framed by two dusty wings of sandy blonde hair, was nearly as red as the blood streaming between his fingers.
You son of a bitch! You ruined my goddamn knee!
Shut up or I'll ruin the other one.
He stared at the other two, who stepped out of the wagon's purple shade, casually putting a good 6 feet between them. They kept their hands well above their pistol butts, but sneers flashed in their eyes and pulled at their lips.
You sure are proddy.
We told you we was fixing to pay. Just wanted to see if you had anything worth paying for.
That what you told Wade Scanlon?
The two men looked at each other.
Now who's that?
The one you shot in the knee, and right here.
Kuno put a finger to his forehead. His cheeks were taut, forked veins swelling just above the bridge of his nose.
Before you looted his wagon, set it on fire, and hoorahed his team into the ravine back yonder.
Oh, Kangaroo Man. Jeez, I plumb forgot about him.
How'd you forget him? Don't you remember? Walt shot him in the knee, just like this bastard shot Cotton. Only that was the only knee Kangaroo Man had. And Kennedy shot Wade between his eyes.
Where might I find this Kennedy?
Oh, you don't want to find Kennedy. He's off his feed. He done had to leave his injured brother with the whores. Besides, he's faster than downwind spit and mean as a rattlesnake in a frying pan.
Stovepipe's eyes flicked toward the wounded man next to the wagon. Kuno swung left. Kuno's slug smashed the wounded man's head straight back in the street, its quarter-sized hole leaking blood. In the corner of his right eye, Kuno saw the other two hard cases reach for their guns. He dove forward as the pistol popped, drilling the air where he'd been standing, the slugs plunking into the saloon and the awning posts behind him. Behind the wagon, he scrambled to a crouch as two more shots plunked into the wagon box, spraying his face with wood slivers. He snaked his Colt around the wagon's right rear corner. The two hard cases were sidestepping toward the saloon, but facing the wagon, crouched, pistols extended, trying to get a bead on their quarry. Gritting his teeth, Kuno drilled two rounds into the stovepipe's chest. As Stovepipe fell lifeless to the dirt, stringy hair ran around the far side of the saloon. Kuno stood, opened his Colt's loading gate, and shook out the spent shells, replacing them with fresh ones. As Kuno moved to the saloon's corner, following Stringy Hair's tracks, he saw that several scantily clad women had moved out of the whorehouse and into the street, looking around, wide-eyed. Several others remained on the unpainted house's sagging front porch. Kuno waved the women back and tramped along the saloon's west wall around the saloon's rear corner to the backyard. As the slug sliced off a rock near Kuno's left boot, the shooter ran out from behind an old beer barrel, heading for the barn. Crouching, Kuno took aim. When the smoke cleared, Kuno saw Stringy Hair's head lying on the hay-flecked ground beside the door. The open eyes did not blink. Blood washed over his lips and down his chin, dribbled into the dust.